Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Osai. I've been very excited about the heart-to-heart series in general because of the opportunities to hear from our Rebbeim and Rosh Yeshiva about topics that really matter to guys. And this topic is certainly one I think that all of us, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, certainly here in Yeshiva, but as you continue past Yeshiva, we'll have this stressor of trying to figure out how to balance everything that we try to balance here. It's what we talk about all the time. And having the opportunity to have a repenter, a person who balances more than I can ever imagine, talk about this topic is a really tremendous zechus. So we really thank our repenter very much for giving us his time. And without further ado.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Stress is a bracha. Stress is a bracha. And I want to start with that. I want to talk even more about handling stress than about balancing. And to try to help us understand how to deal with some of the stressors in our lives and some of the situations that we face. Balancing is one of the solutions to stress, but stress goes way beyond that. So as I said, stress is a bracha. It's a gift, actually, from the Ribono Shel Olam, and we need to understand it as such. Stress is basically a number of things that happen to our body when we are facing a difficult situation. And it's a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. You may have heard it in one of your classes as the fight or flight response. It's a heightened state of awareness where there are physiological changes in the body to prepare us to deal with a difficult situation. And it's a bracha. It's one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to allow us to deal with the challenging situations in our lives. But like any kli that he gives us, it can be overused. And it can be misused. And we all understand that the short-term effect of being overwhelmed and the long-term effect of stress on the body is something that can have significant impact, significant negative effects on the body. I want to say before making a few suggestions that at the heart, this is not just a conversation, as many of these issues in heart-to-heart. It's not just something to hear from a Rav or to hear from a Mashgiach. It's something to discuss, and very often with a mental health professional and with a medical doctor. These are real physiological things, and they really do matter very much. I would like to share with you three areas of hadracha from a Torah perspective about dealing with stress. I don't know exactly why I was chosen for this, perhaps because everyone around me assumes that I'm under a tremendous amount of stress. It is a great zechus, but also somewhat stressful to be in charge of everything that goes on around here. And I guess that's how I somehow got this job. I don't know if I do a very good job. I appreciate being asked to research this topic and to speak about this topic to give chizuk to myself on something that I certainly need to deal with as much as anyone else. Number one, Ushmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem. Ushmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem applies to our mental health as well as our physical health, especially because our mental health affects our physical health in a serious way. It's interesting, in the Rambam's medical writings, we read a lot about his Torah writings, in his medical writings he already mentions this in the 12th century. It took modern science quite a long time to figure that out, about the mind-body connection, but the Rambam had this already in the 1100s. We know very often what we can do to relieve stress. Exercise relieves stress, diet, sleep, taking time out. But somehow we don't do that very much. Now, part of it is things we can't handle. The YU schedule is so difficult. I have so many things. But a lot of it is that we care much more for our religious objects than for the most important religious object, which is ourselves, our bodies, and our neshamos. If a pair of tefillin is holy because it houses klafin and a sefer Torah is holy, we are even more holy than those things. Think of the care with which we wrap up our tefillin every single morning. Think of the care with which we take care of a sefer Torah. Our bodies are much more important than that. In some reason, it's not frum, it's not yeshivish, it's not the thing to do to take care of our bodies. Rabosai, there's a biblical commandment of Ushmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem. If we can take care of the other religious things that we have in our life, it is a mitzvah, and we need to see it as a mitzvah. I started about a year and a half ago before my son Yosef's chasana. The second child that we had get married, my daughter's chasana, 2.5, 3 years ago, I danced, but I couldn't dance all the way through the first dance. It was too much. Baruch Hashem, there was a lot of simcha in the room, a lot of people, a lot of Rosh Yeshiva to dance with. And I said to myself, I'm not going to have the same thing happen from my son's wedding. And I started going to a personal trainer. Doesn't sound like a very rabbinic thing to do. You'd be surprised, by the way, how many rabbis, without telling you, have personal trainers in order to get into shape. And I remember being there the first time, and I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I'm not such an old fellow, and walking and trying to lift weights, now you'd be surprised I'm on the bag like Rocky with the whole thing. You'd be shocked. They asked me if I wanted to do the bag. I said, is it good for you? He said, yeah. I said, you know what, I want to do it because like a video of me doing this will be like the coolest thing of all, if I can really learn to do that. And I thought to myself of a story that I remember once telling over when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rav Aaron, none of you had the chance to really see the godless of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had a terrible stroke. And watching him make his way around the campus after the stroke was just a thing of godless to see how with every step. When he was recovering from the stroke, he was doing physical therapy in Chicago. And the physical therapist, who was a frum person, heard that as he was going on the bars, you've all seen those bars on the side and how you walk, he was mumbling something to himself. So he asked Rav Aaron what he was mumbling to himself. So he was mumbling to himself, Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas u'shtayim, Achas v'sholosh. That doing physical therapy was the equivalent to him of serving as the Kohen lefnai v'lefnim in the Beis HaMikdash. And when I'm with my physical trainer and I don't want to go further, I say, Achas, Achas v'Achas. Taking care of ourselves is mamish part of our avodas Hashem. It's part of our avodas Hashem to take care of ourselves. We know what we can do. We know what we have to do. And it goes not just to taking care of ourselves physically, but to investing in peace of mind. The Gemara says in the last parak of Brachos that Gimel marchivin daito shel adam. Dira na'a, isha na'a, v'kelim na'im. And what this means is that having certain things in our life that are pleasant are critical to our mental health. And that we need to invest in them. And there's nothing wrong in investing in them if we think that they're things that are going to help us have a sound mind. These are Torah concepts to take care of ourselves. That's number one. Number two, stress can be fought with emunah. And at the risk of sounding too frum, I want to explain what I mean. Much of emunah is about perspective. The ability to step back for a moment and to realize the larger picture. Emunah is from the word uman. Uman is a craftsman. It takes work to have emunah. It's something we have to practice. It's something we have to do on a constant basis. So much of stress can be relieved by taking a step back and regaining perspective for what's going on around us. What do we do to strengthen our emunah? So again, the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam speaks about to know God and to do investigative things, to study the world, but in a simpler sense, taking a step back, realizing that everything is in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam, is something that is very powerful and one of the greatest relievers of stress. It's hard to remember that we're not in this alone, but we're in this with the Ribono Shel Olam. And please don't take what I'm saying in the wrong way, it's all a game. Our rabbis tell us that Bishvili Nivra HaOlam, and a lot of people walk around and you think they feel like Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. But Bishvili Nivra HaOlam means that whatever situation is going on around us is meant to be and is part of our life plan. And the situation that we're in and the challenge that we're supposed to face and everything going on around us is part of our Avodas Hashem and part of what God wants for me. This whole world was created so I can play a very complex game of life. Everything around me is created so I can have these myriad of choices and I can get through them step by step. I dare quote a movie in this context, but a long time ago, as Chata'ay Ani Mazkir Ayom, I saw a movie called The Truman Show. I can't recommend that you watch a movie officially on tape. But if you read the summary of the concept of The Truman Show, The Truman Show was godless. It was a godless about Jim Carrey was in this movie. Not that you know who he is, but I'm saying this guy Jim Carrey is in this movie. Basically what it was a cruel TV show where someone from the beginning of their life was basically put on a set from the time they were born. And everything and everyone around them was part of this show. There was this huge dome, and it was the world that he lived in, and every other person was an actor except for him. And he had no idea that his life was being recorded and that was actually a show, and much of the film goes through how you got to try to keep him in his dome. How do you convince him never to leave? But everything he saw was just a set. It had nothing on the background. And everything that was moving, there were people paid to be in cars just to go around, to pretend that this was a normal thing. Mamish, that's life. That's mamish life. Every one of us is that character. And everything that goes on around us was set up by the Ribono Shel Olam to see how we'll do with it. If we can step back and take the perspective and remember that this is supposed to be happening. This is supposed to be here. This is not something that fell upon me. This is part of my game, part of my life, part of my show. It's supposed to be here. How do we find the time and the ability to step back and to gain that perspective? You know what I'm going to say. When we take three steps forward to daven, Rabosai, it's just amazing how stressed we are. There are three times a day we have what's called a silent meditation. How many of us make it a meditation? There are three times a day that we're supposed to get away. When's the last time that we use Shmona Esrei as an opportunity to relax, to step back, and to regain perspective that it's all in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam? By asking him for thing after thing after thing in our lives, we're supposed to remember that it's really up to him. When I ask him for help on the test that's coming, I'm not simply supposed to be begging and worrying about the test. I'm supposed to remember that he's also taking the test with me. And that how I do on the test has as much to do with just the hishtadlus that I put in as how well I perform on that particular day. I mentioned before that after a good Shmona Esrei, when I take three steps back, I don't imagine that I'm leaving the Ribono Shel Olam's office. I imagine that I'm holding him by his hand and that he's coming with me. The goal of Shmona Esrei is to remember that we're not in this alone. It's three times a day that we're supposed to stop. The Kuzari says that davening is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. It's a chance to step back and gain perspective. It's a chance to realize. Use that opportunity. Having HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of it, I know this sounds so frum, but it's just so true. I was walking into somebody's house yesterday. My new job is very often raising money for the yeshiva. And I once read that somebody said a tefillah every time before they went into the home of the person that was giving money. And it was part of their way of reminding themselves that they were doing something very, very holy and very, very important. But you know what it does for me? It takes away my stress. As I'm standing, when I come to your parents to ask some money, when I come to whoever it is, just know that I'm going to stop on the doorstep right before I ring the bell, and I'm going to say, give me a hand on this one. Amongst other things, it makes me understand that my job is to do my hishtadlus. My job is to do what I have to do. It's going to be okay. Speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam is one of the greatest relievers of stress in my life. And I try to find more times outside of davening to be able to just whisper to him and to remember that I just have to do my part and it's going to be okay. So the first was to do what we have to do. We know some of the things we could do to take care of our bodies and our minds and to treat it as a religious obligation like we're Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Number two is... What was number two? Number two is to step back and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us and we're not in this alone, and to use Emunah to help us. But sometimes there are situations that are so overwhelming, we just don't know what to do with them. A number of years ago, I gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah about the tragic death of Sarah. We all know Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah the circumstances of Sarah's death. Right? He doesn't spell it all out. It's a medrash in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that the Satan, who was so upset that he couldn't stop the Akedah, and it looked like Avram was going to go through with the Akedah, so he comes to Sarah and he shows a picture of Avram with the knife and Yitzchak crying, "Please, Abba, don't do this." And her heart goes on her and she dies. And I pointed out how tragic it is that Sarah died, because Yitzchak never got killed. In fact, it wasn't a tragic moment. It was one of the most triumphant moments in Jewish history. But she assumed the worst. She internalized the worst. And she died from that stress. I can't tell you how many times I've tried in my life and giving experience to others to say, why are we always worried about things that might happen? Let's face it, Rav Osai. We have enough stuff that is going on that we need to worry about. How much time and energy do we spend because something might happen? The Rambam himself, in his medical treatise, not in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam himself in his medical treatise says, why do people worry so much about something that might happen or might not happen? You know what's the worst? The worst is when we're so nervous about something, and then it turns out it was okay anyway. How much mental anxiety did we go through? You're right, it might happen, but it might not. Why should it? When it happens, I'll deal with it then. Is it a possibility? Am I going to fail? Is it going to be terrible? Is this thing not going to work out? You know what? I need to be able to tell myself, when it doesn't work out, I'll deal with it then. Because most of the time, our worst fears are not realized, but we spend days and nights worrying about something that never even happened. And that's what happened to Sarah. It's also important to remember that even if it does happen, it's going to be okay. It's hard to whisper to somebody in Shiva that it's going to be okay. And sometimes it's unfair to whisper to somebody in Shiva that it's going to be okay. But sometimes I have to whisper to somebody and say, you and I know that a year from now, the pain is going to be less. You and I know that 2 years from now, I don't know how, but we all know that you're going to go on. Put your mind 2 years from now. Live in that space. So many times, something seems like the biggest deal. I remember a few weeks ago preparing for a shiur and it just wasn't coming together. And I was going to have to speak in front of a really large crowd. It just wasn't coming together. And you know what? It wasn't the best shiur. And 10 minutes after the shiur, it was okay. For 3 hours, I stressed about the shiur. Was it going to be the best shiur? And then it wasn't the best shiur. And 10 minutes after the shiur, life went on. And I reminded myself, why can't I put myself in that space and put myself 3 hours later? Whatever is the crisis of the day is not going to be the crisis of the day by tonight. Never mind by tomorrow. Never mind 3-4 years from now. Trying to put ourselves in that space is very critical. And finally, part of not allowing things to hang out there is, Rabosai, not to procrastinate. And this is critical for what you're trying to do and all the things you're trying to balance. Procrastination is the devil in terms of balancing and in terms of stress. Something that's out there is stressful for us. As soon as we begin to tackle it, as bad as it is, as hard as it is, it's not as bad as this looming image from the satan. Look at procrastination as the satan, just floating, I can't quite touch it. The longer I leave it, we all know what I'm talking about. That paper, that thing I got to do. The longer it sits there, the longer I stress. I stress every moment till I get to it. Just start it. Just get going. Just do a little bit every day. Just get the thing moving. I'll end with a fascinating thing that from the Ali Shor, where he talks about growth in general, but dealing with things that cause us stress. He writes, this is in the second chelek of Ali Shor, under Masim Kitanim. It's worth reading yourselves. The Ali Shor says that after the Yom Kippur War, he was flown on a plane towards Egypt. Again, I don't know the circumstances, I don't know what it is, but he writes it was him. He writes that he was flown on a plane towards Egypt. And as they got closer to Egypt, the plane went very, very close to the ground. And he was very nervous that something was going on. So he said, "What's going on?" He said, "You know, now we're under the Egyptian radar. If we fly up here, if we fly at the regular height, we're going to set off the radar and it's going to be terrible. As long as we fly down here, we won't hit the radar. You got to do things like this, or there will be on the plane." So Wolbe realized that that's the stress that we face when trying to go too high and capture everything at once. He says, whenever we're trying to accomplish something, whether it's a huge change in our lives, whether it's a huge paper, whether it's a huge responsibility, just start slow and fly low so the radar doesn't get set off. As soon as we try to accomplish the whole thing, as soon as we try to just take it on, the radar goes off and, it's too much, I get overwhelmed. Just start. Don't procrastinate. Do a little bit, do a little bit, do a little bit. Don't let it hang out there, these worries that we have. It's going to work out. And if it doesn't work out, 2 days later, it's really going to be fine. I wish you all the bracha of peace of mind. There's so much to discuss. We could discuss issues of stress and balancing, but I actually wanted to discuss even more than the balancing, how to deal with some of these stressful issues, to take care of ourselves, to do what we know we have to do, to rely and partner with the Ribono Shel Olam, and finally, not to let these huge things overwhelm us, to realize that it'll probably be okay, to jump on it, to just start in little ways rather than procrastinating, and to realize that down the road, we're going to continue to play this wonderful game of life. This is supposed to happen. It's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. Have a good day.